This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
You can tell the same story twice, and different people will take different things from it both times. And sometimes you will relate to a story at a point in your life, and you hear that story again later, and you relate to it in a different way. I'm going to give a case in point, is the parable of the prodigal son. You know the story, 500 words out of Luke 15, and a young son says, I want everything that's coming to me. He takes it from his father, and he goes and he spends it in what the Bible calls in the King James Version, riotous living. And he spends that money and then comes home and he's resented by his older brother, but his father welcomes him with open arms. And here's what happens. There may be a point in your life where you relate to the younger brother. And that's you, because you were the prodigal. There may be times when you relate to the father, and that's a stage in your life where you've had to deal with a prodigal son or daughter. But you know where most people are? Most people identify with the older brother, with resentment toward other people. Most people identify with the older brother saying, well, who does he think he is to come home? Or who does she think she is to come home and ask for forgiveness and so forth and so on? So we relate to different things of a story, different points in our life. Case in point is a story I tell today. I told it 3 years ago. But I'm going to go in a different direction with the same story. It's told by Max Lucado, who preaches in San Antonio, Texas. He writes in his book, He Still Moves Stones, she nearly missed the flight. In fact, I thought I had the row to myself when I looked up and saw her huffing and puffing down the aisle, dragging two large carry-on bags. I hate to fly, she blurted out as she fell into her seat. I put off getting here as long as I could. You almost put it off too long, Max said. She was tall, young, blonde, tanned, and talkative. Her jeans were fashionably ripped at the knees, and her black boots boasted silver tips. She really did hate to fly, I learned, and the way she coped with it was talking. I'm going home to see my dad, and he will really be amazed at my tan. He thinks I'm crazy to live in California, me being single and all, but I do have a new boyfriend. He travels a lot and I only see him on the weekends, but that's fine with me because it means I get the house to myself. It's not that far from the beach, and on she went. He shared with her and surprised her by pulling out his Bible, Max did, and opened it to Psalm 23 and said, this may help you in your fear of flying. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. She looked at the scripture, looked up at Max Lucado with a tear in her eye, and she said, you know, I used to read that. I remember reading that. She shared that she used to be a believer in Christ, but she couldn't remember the last time she'd been to church. Then, in the midst of their discussion, Max did something that I thought was a little bold, maybe a little brazen, but maybe not. He said, may I ask you a question? Sure, go ahead. Do you think you'll go to heaven? The girl thought for a moment and said, yeah, I think I'll go to heaven. And then Max Lucado says this, somehow I knew what she was going to say before she even said it. I could see it coming. She was going to give me her list. Everybody has one. Well, I'm basically good. I don't smoke more than a pack of cigarettes a day. I exercise. I'm dependable at work. She counted them down on her fingers. And I made my boyfriend get tested for AIDS. There it was, her list of qualifications. By her way of thinking, heaven could be earned by good health habits and safe sex. Her line of logic was simple. I keep the list on earth and I get the place in heaven.
Well, there are many people that probably believe that last statement. We'll continue this message from Ephesians 3 tomorrow on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org. Crosshope.org.
Her line of logic was simple. I keep the list on earth and I get the place in heaven. My point in telling that story is not to go with it the way Max did about her going to heaven and her list of qualifications for heaven, but to point out this. Here was a woman who was able to explain her life in terms of choices and decisions she made. It's all about what I do. It's all about what I decide. It's all about how I think. And most people define their life that way. But today, you're going to go home with a different way of looking at your life, and it's this: that God has made things possible, past tense, in your life through His grace, through His gift. And God is enabling you in the future to do things, get this, that you would never do on your own. Listen to that again. God will enable you to do things that you would never be able to do on your own. How do I know that? From what I read in Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 7. Paul the Apostle is speaking and he says, I became a servant of this gospel. How? By training? No. Education? No. By the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. Somebody came to hear this next verse because you've never heard this before, and this is going to mean something to some man or woman here today. It's this: in Christ and through faith in Christ, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Some of you never knew that. You can approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Very briefly, Paul is in prison. He's under house arrest in Rome. He's able to have people come and see him and visit him. And in the midst of that, house arrest, he tells the people at Ephesus, I am what I am by the grace of God. What I'm going to do today is just a little verse by verse, basically with two verses out of here. And these two verses can not only impact your life, they can make a difference in how you live from this day forward. That's no small thing. Let's bring up verse 7 again. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the work of His power. You may have never heard this before, but there are things that God will enable you to do and does enable you to do by the grace of God. And you say, what, be an apostle? No, I'm not talking about becoming an apostle or being a missionary or being a singer or being something that is in front of people, that kind of thing. God may enable somebody here, get this, to love somebody you normally couldn't love. I shock people regularly with this statement. People will tell me, I could never forgive him for what he did to me. Well, I could never forgive her for what she did to me. And you know what I tell them? You're right, you can't. You never will. And they say, excuse me? Because they're shocked to hear me say that. I said, that's right. You will never be able to forgive him. You'll never be able to forgive her. It's only by the grace of God that will enable you to do something in your life that you couldn't do on your own. That's why they call it grace. Grace means unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. That's why Paul said, I'm an apostle by the grace of God. He was a persecutor of the church.
Well, so many people go through their life honestly and truly thinking it's all about me. It's all about what I decide, what I choose, because you see, I'm the captain of my fate and I'm the captain of the ship called my life. And that is simply not true. This passage will help you to understand that fact. Our website is crosshope.org, crosshope.org.
Grace means unmerited favor, something we don't deserve. That's why Paul said, I'm an apostle by the grace of God. He was a persecutor of the church. In verse 8, when he talks about, I'm the least of all of God's people, that wasn't false humility. Have you ever had somebody talk, well, I'm just nobody? Well, sometimes that's an indirect source of pride. He meant it. He said, I'm the least of all God's people to be used as an apostle. He was responsible for Christians being murdered. He was responsible for Christians being imprisoned, at least. And God said, I'm going to use you as an apostle to the Gentiles, to the non-Jews. What is it that the Lord could enable you to do? God may give you the grace to love your husband. God may give you the grace to love your wife. God may give you the grace to love your children or your parents. He may give you the grace to forgive people that you couldn't forgive or deal with on your own. Let me give you some powerful illustrations of this. When I ministered in Columbus, Ohio, I remember having a phone conversation with a woman who'd gone through a lot of abuse as a child, physical abuse, not sexual abuse, but physical abuse. And just parenthetically, you may have been here when I mentioned a few weeks ago that the three greatest causes of depression in children, according to an article in Psychology Today magazine, were three that surprised me, because what was not in the list? I thought at the top three would be the death of a parent. Didn't make the top three. You know what didn't make the list? The death of a sibling didn't make the top three. The three greatest causes of depression in children: family violence, number one, where a child witnesses violence against himself or herself and then witnesses the violence toward a sibling. That is the greatest cause of depression, number one, in children. Number two was the mental illness of a parent. And then number three was family divorce, the third greatest cause of depression in children. And what is remarkable to me about that statement there, the third one, is I don't know how many times over the years I've had conversations with a man or a woman who say, hey, my kids are fine with this. They're going to be great. They're going to do wonderful. And isn't it interesting? Psychology Today says it's the third greatest cause of depression in children is family divorce. It's not a light thing to them. And that's the point of that. I asked them, I said, how are you dealing with what you've been through? And this woman on the phone said something that I will never forget as long as I live. Here's what she said. I'm learning to see the gift in the wound. I'm learning to see the gift in the wound. What does that mean? Grace. Grace. I'm learning to see the gift in the wound, meaning I'm able to see the hand of God even in my wounds. What would that do for somebody today if you said, God, help me to see your hand even in the negative stuff? One of my favorite stories out of the Old Testament comes out of the book of Numbers. I think it's in 22, 23, and 24 of Numbers, where Israel's enemies hire a prophet to call down curses upon God's people. He's a gun for hire. In other words, he's not a prophet of God. They just say, we want you, we'll pay you to call down curses on Israel. And you know what Numbers says? It says this: God turned the curses into blessings. I love that. God turned the curses into blessings.
I have a feeling that that statement from the Old Testament is speaking to some man or woman right now who's listening to this program. You're about to see God's hand at work in your life, hopefully, to turn a curse into a blessing. Wouldn't it make a difference in your day to know that that's possible? Our website is crosshope.org.
You know what Numbers says? It says this: God turned the curses into blessings. I love that. God turned the curses into blessings. Could it be? Is it possible that God could take some of the curses in your life and turn them into blessings if you realize that you are but what you are by the grace of God, and it's God's grace at work in you and through you? I think it can change your outlook on everything, change your outlook on life in general. Part of it is gratitude, developing a spirit of gratitude. What do I mean by that? Some of you remember an old name from history, Oliver Wendell Holmes. He said that if you were to give me a dish of sand and tell me that there were particles of iron in the sand, I might look at them with my eyes and search for them with my fingers, but unable to detect them. But he says, give me a magnet and let me sweep through the sand, and how it would draw to itself the most invisible particles by the mere power of attraction. The unthankful or the ungrateful heart, like the finger in the sand, discovers no grace, no mercy. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day as the magnet finds the iron, so it will find in every hour some blessing, some mercy, some grace at the hand of God. I love that idea. The gratitude is the magnet that we sweep through our lives and say, oh, there's a blessing there. And God turned that curse into a blessing, and I'm able to see the gift in the wound there. And some negative things have happened to me, but you see, the magnet of gratitude and a grateful heart is able to pick up things that we would not normally see. Toscanini was one of the great conductors and interpreters of music in his day. He was preparing an orchestra to play the music of Beethoven. And so he's talking with them and prepping them for their concert that they're going to do on Friday night of this symphony by Beethoven. And in his preparation, he says this, "Ladies and gentlemen, I am nothing. I'm nothing. You, nothing. You are nothing. Beethoven is everything. Beethoven is everything." He knew that his duty as an orchestra leader, symphony leader, was not to draw attention to himself. It wasn't to draw attention to the orchestra playing the music. His purpose or duty was to attract attention to the music that Beethoven wrote. What would happen if you realized in your life, your purpose in life is to draw attention to Christ? And everything that happens in your life is to bring glory to Christ. And there's a wound in my life that's going to bring glory to Christ. There's a problem I've had 20 years, I'm going to bring glory to Christ with it. That God uses the things in our life to bless us and to bless other people. I read something this week that had, for some reason, a profound impact on me. You can just read an article and say, man, that really made me think. An author said this, that so many people in life have no idea that they are in the fourth quarter of their life. You can be in your 20s and be in the fourth quarter of your life. You just don't know it. You can be in your 30s or 40s and be in the fourth quarter of your life. You just don't know it. You can be in your 50s and 60s and be in the fourth quarter of your life. And he made this point. He said, have you ever known a football game to be won or lost in the fourth quarter? Sure you have. Many times.
Well, I'm not sure what quarter your life is in or what quarter my life is in. We may be at the two-minute warning, and I'll talk about that tomorrow on Cross Hope. I just know this, that we are all recipients of the grace of God. Everything that we have, everything that we are, comes by His hand or through His grace. Our website is crosshope.org. That's one word, crosshope.org. Our message concludes tomorrow on Cross Hope. God bless you. Thanks for listening.
You can be in your 20s and be in the fourth quarter of your life. You just don't know it. You can be in your 30s or 40s and be in the fourth quarter of your life. You just don't know it. You can be in your 50s and 60s and be in the fourth quarter of your life. And he made this point. He said, have you ever known a football game to be won or lost in the fourth quarter? Sure you have. Many times. And then he said this, have you ever known a football game that was won or lost after the two-minute warning? I have. I can name games from last year that were won after the two-minute warning. Games that were lost by a team that was leading after the two-minute warning. And what was his point? There are people in this room that maybe in their fourth quarter, you don't know it. What are you doing with your life in the fourth quarter? Have you been talking like that woman at the beginning of the message? It's all about what I decide, and it's all about what I do, and the choices I make and the decisions I make. Or are you willing to say today for the first time, I'm not the master of my fate? I'm not the captain of the ship, the Lord is. And I simply am what I am by the grace of God, a grace that will enable me, a gift that will enable me to do what I couldn't do on my own, like love and forgive and endure and last till the second coming of Christ. I want to talk about verse 12 and then I'll close. In Him and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Do you know why that verse means so much to me? It's because some of you come from families where you don't approach anybody with freedom and confidence. Would you listen to that again? Some of you come from families where you can't approach anybody with freedom and confidence. Why? Because you don't know how they're going to react. If I tell him this, he'll go ballistic. If I tell her this, she'll let me have it. If I tell this person in the family this, they'll tell everybody else. And so we do not have freedom and confidence in approaching the people in our own families. You don't have freedom and confidence perhaps approaching people at work. You don't have freedom and confidence approaching people in your neighborhood. But in Christ and through faith in Christ, we have freedom and confidence in approaching God. Isn't that amazing? I find that utterly amazing that the creator of the universe is the one that we can approach with freedom and confidence. In fact, I think the King James Version, it says boldness. You can boldly approach God about little things. Have you ever been maybe hesitant to pray something and say, why would I mess or bother God with that? You know, do you know why you're hesitant to do that? Is because you've told people, what are you messing with me about that for? Why are you bothering me with that? And then so we think, well, God must be the same way with us. And he's not. There's nothing too small, too big, too small change or too big deal for the Lord. We take everything. We bring everything to him. And you know what? You can have confidence and you can have boldness and you can have freedom in approaching that. What does this message say to you today? Well, what I want it to say to you, I hope it will say to you that you are not in control and neither am I. And the Lord says, I will give you grace, a measure of my love and a measure of my mercy and strength. That's what grace is, the grace of God. And we don't do anything without the grace of God. Nothing. Nothing is done without the grace of God. Don't ever forget that. You got up today by the grace of God. You will get up and go to work tomorrow by the grace of God. You will face illness with the grace of God. You will face life. You will face death. It's all by the grace of God, not on your own. It's with him. It's with him. It's with him.
Well, would anything in your life change if you honestly and truly believe that statement that everything that happens, everything I have, is by the grace of God? I think it would. Our website is crosshope.org.
You've been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.